Hi, I'm Tommy, and I'm the host of Tea and Waffles, a guide to 2021, powered by Transmission Roundhouse. In this six-part series, I'm sitting down with amazing guests and opening the lid on issues faced by young people, hopefully providing some guidance to propel you through this messy COVID period, starting your 2021 the right way. Episode 4. Already? Wow. 2021 really is flying. And I guess in the famous words of Troops from Arsenal Fan TV, you're officially back again. I'm currently recording this from my bedroom in London during the second UK national lockdown, or as I like to call it, lockdown 3. Boris strikes back. Again. And again. And one more time for luck. But don't get me wrong. I know we have to show care and understanding to protect those who we love and the most vulnerable in society, which is more than I can say for those who chose claps over appropriately compensating those saving our lives on a daily basis. But even with all the manic of vaccines being rolled out like new iPhone releases, the constant doom and gloom almost palpable in the air, I can't help but think of all the activities and time with people that I'm missing out on. Bottomless brunches, arcades, bowling. Wait, there's a date at this. Shit. I've got to make sure I write that down. Okay. Maybe I'm missing the feeling of meeting someone new. Making sure that I've got that pack of Wrigley's extra spearmint gum on the go before she comes around the corner. Figuring out how we're going to deal with the bill when it arrives, or how long to wait before I text her after the date so she doesn't think I'm super desperate. I guess I'm just a little bit worried about what's going on in these cold, cold streets and how to do this whole dating thing. But I have a feeling that it's not just me. In this segment you're about to hear, I have the pleasure of having a New Year's Eve conversation with Sophie Elwin, a content creator, podcaster and writer for Bear Dating, and Alex Sargent, a co-founder of the Bear Dating app, minutes before the launch of their app. I hope this episode provides support and guidance to online dating safely. And if you've been thinking about online dating, this gives you an insight into what your experience could look like.
My experience of dating is not a lengthy one. If ever I've been involved with somebody, I've met them in real life. You know that, and by that I mean I haven't met them through Tinder or Hinge or whatever dating app might be out there. It's always been through a friend of a friend, or it's been through a work thing or something at university. You know, I think because I am so attracted to people in their behaviour and their mannerisms and how they express themselves, that doing that over a screen just is never going to work for me. So if I'm actually going to meet somebody or start dating someone, it's because I've met them and I'm attracted to them physically. And by that, I mean in their entire physical presence. You know, that could be mannerisms, like I say. It's not just about the looks for me. So, yeah, there's not loads to go on, but what good experiences I have had have come from meeting people in real life.
Good morning, good evening, salutations, people. You're tuning in for another episode of the Tea and Waffles podcast, powered by Transmission Roundhouse, the series dedicated to having a look at issues faced by young people during this COVID period, and hopefully providing you some solutions to your dilemmas, helping you get through your 2021. I am joined here with some excellent guests from an organization helping you guys get cozy together. They've been featured in publications such as Cosmopolitan, Vice and Forbes, just to name a few. But I probably can't give them all due justice in this introduction, so I'm going to swing over to them. They can introduce themselves, what they do, and also what their organisation is all about.
Well, good evening. Good evening, everybody. I'm Alex, and I'm the CEO of Bear, which has just gone live in London.
Oh.
It's very exciting. Yeah. I'm joined by Sophie, who's one of our writers, aren't you, Sophie?
Yes, or sort of content creator as a wider title, and social media contributor as well. I look after the Twitter and Facebook, and then write for our website, tips and on dating, relationships, and all that jazz.
Okay, yeah. That's wonderful. Do you guys want to explain what Bear is?
Sure. I'm sure Sophie will add many things, but we are all about aiming at people who are open-minded. So if they want to try something a bit different, explore, reveal each other, reveal themselves emotionally, physically, in whatever way they choose. Have a bit of an experimentation, if you like, but most importantly, do it in a safe space where you feel comfortable. And we claim to be one of the civil, if not the safest dating app because of our technology, which is very exciting and quite groundbreaking, which we're very excited to bring to the nation, to bring to Brits across the nation.
No, that's wonderful. I actually had a flick through. So I was on the App Store and I was having a look at some of the reviews of your app. I also actually downloaded your app and gave it a little go myself, just to prep myself a little bit. I thought if I had gone through a little bit of an experience, then I'd be able to have a better conversation with you guys and understand the app a little bit more. I think the whole idea of being able to share however much that you want to share, or and also date safely and date confidently, is a really, really unique way of dating. I don't think any app has really, really done it in that way, and that's why I kind of reached out to you guys, because I thought you guys were doing something which is very, very unique.
Yeah, I think it's new and exciting, and with the current sort of main three dating apps, they do all feel very similar. Like when you're on them, you're like, well, I could actually be on any three of those. The ones that I have experience using. So I think it's very exciting to have a new one on the market that offers something a little bit different from all the other ones out there.
So my experience with dating so far has been a learning curve every time I meet someone new, and fun and also like not fun. It's like a very confusing realm, especially in this age where like it's so different. Not that I knew what it was before because I wasn't born then, but these days it's all very quick and online. Most things are online nowadays. Well, my experience has mainly been online dating, and then with COVID it's probably gonna carry on that way, like growing that way. But I don't want to keep it online. Like, I actually want to meet someone in person and like start dating them in person, and like not in person but as in like make it clear intentions wise I want to date you in person and then carry on dating, as opposed to making that clear online and then dating in person. Like, things tend to be very quick, and like maybe because of the online dating space, like there's less space for real conversation and like really getting to know someone, but not just getting to know someone and then you find out one thing and then you're like, okay, bye. But like actually like learning about that one thing, as opposed to just like ghosting randomly. Like, people are so accessible these days, and I think dating has become like a short, quick exchange, kind of like a market, as opposed to like actually finding someone that you can grow with.
So before we actually get into the main topics of discussion, I like to have a little icebreaker question, which I like to give to all the guests who come on the podcast. If you listen to the podcast already, you know I'm a huge sneakerhead. I absolutely love trainers. And the question in which I ask, I know it's a bit difficult now because everyone's at home, but it's a crep check. So I like to know what is on people's feet, what they're rocking, what is like the new craze, what's your favorite shoe. So you can be super duper brave, like you guys are, as I'm assuming you guys are quite entrepreneurial and forward thinking. You can come out and be brave and say what you have on your feet, or you can tell me if you had any shoe or trainer that you'd like to have on your feet, what would it be?
Well, I was only going to say I have to be really, really cheesy here and say I am literally, I'm just, I, my slippers are sliding off and I'm barefoot, pun intended.
That's your arm.
Couldn't resist that one, sorry.
I'm just in boring socks, but if I, like, I'm, it's a very basic thing. I'm like a New Balance kind of girl. I like all the different colours. They're like the slim fitting ones, I don't know. It's not, I'm not cool enough to be an Air Force or anything kind of person, so I stick
New Balances
to New Balance.
Are very, very trendy. Don't downplay them.
Oh, thank you.
They've got quite a big range of colours, and I think that's what really attracts people to the brand. But yeah, but don't downplay yourself. all trainers are amazing, but they're just built in different ways.
Hey. I mean, the older you get, the more you realise forming new relationships with someone, and you can't waste your time, you know, especially me, you know what I'm saying? I'm 24, I'm just getting old, man. So I'm just trying to find my Abisha queen, you know, them ones there, so. But dating for me is a Mazzolini, because yeah, I'm either just working or I can't be asked to make an effort because I'm just tired because of other activities and stuff like that. But now I'm thinking about it more and more. So I'm on one app, an app for like Ethiopians. So there's so much you can do off that app. And given this whole lockdown, you can't really meet anybody, so it's more of a FaceTime, calling or texting most of the time, but that gets a bit boring after a while as well. So, yeah, given the current climate, I mean, my dating experience has been kind of shit, but I mean, previously I was in a two-year relationship, so I didn't really date that much. Yeah, on the general, I don't really date that much.
So essentially the meat and bones of today is that I really wanted to create some food for thought about millennial dating and not just the benefits and issues that have arisen due to technology, but how coronavirus has really tipped people's dating experience upside down. If it's not lockdown swapping first dates for first Zoom calls and profile bios now trading places with eyes to sort of be the windows to people's souls, I thought it would be sort of great to sit down and unpack all of this with people who work behind the scenes and are really sort of thinking about ways in which that they can improve the dating experience for young people today. So my first question to you guys is that, I think it relates more to Alex, really, as you're a co-founder of the app. So when developing the app, why was it open-mindedness and body positivity and creating a safe space was so important to you guys? And how do you think this really affects people's dating experience?
I think we all found, like, because I should add, there's actually three co-founders, including me. There's Julian and there's Phil, and I'm one of them. And we came about the idea, twofold really. The first stage was when we actually conceived the idea with Phil, and he was actually at a dating event, it was a conference for those who worked in the dating sector, because I actually run dating events, and obviously because of the virus they cleared away right now, but there'll be some online ones soon. And we were talking about the future of technology in terms of how practical and honest people want to be able to search for what they like, but also about being honest about what they like and actually being very polite in that respect. So moving, changing a shift or a gear, if you like, in terms of the way that you present yourself, but also how you basically have a conversation with someone about your intentions, what you're looking for. We call it setting your status on there. And you'll be able to, for example, be informed when someone changes their status through updates through the app. And that kind of integral, especially Gillian, who brings that crucial female perspective, as well as having two men on the team as the co-founders, it was an important balance to get that exactly right, so that women also felt in the same way that men, that they were being completely upfront and respectful and respecting the community, because Bear is a community. Our, the one USP for us is above any other dating app, really, and many other apps, that we are growing a community. We've already had hundreds of people sign up who want to be Bear Bassadors. And with that comes events, comes intrigue, comes campaigns, comes, let's just say, a lot of video content's going out with a lot of formats very soon, taking on the bear angle. So we're really excited about all of this, and that's what's going to make it fun for the individual. And that's basically the essence of Bear, really, if you like.
Wow, that's so great. You really brought up a point about there being a different experience for men and women. How have you found sort of being able to mesh, obviously, the two different genders, and obviously the other genders as well? How have you found that? Obviously, in the developing stages, obviously, you have to make improvements and changes and stuff like that. Did you come in into developing the app having certain ideas and having to change certain things and tweak certain things along the way? And what sort of things and issues and hurdles did you encounter whilst doing that?
Very good question. And we followed a unique journey, really, for a dating app, because, let's be frank, nudity was a big question mark for us, in terms of, we're not about promoting nudity, let's just be completely frank about that, but we're about doing what you want in a safe space. But because of the uniqueness in that respect, we had to go through a process that wasn't really conventional, i.e. we had to launch a website first, a beta website, and then a beta app, to actually get an understanding of how the users would interact with each other, because it's completely not been done before. So once we had that feedback and we built up a community of thousands, literally thousands of people across the globe, understanding where it's popular as well, and that's what we're launching in the UK, not least because we're a British company, but because we believe that this is our big market, but also that we had to fine tune it, as you said, Tommy. So we had to really make sure that it was a slightly different experience for men and women. Women had to feel much, much safer. And with that, we had to put in stops and checks and tech to make sure that happened. So we've now made it, for one of the first time on many dating apps, to completely prevent unsolicited nudes. But also, in more of a spin on it, you decide how much of a picture you want to reveal. So if you do receive a picture, it's down to you. It's your body, your rules. That's what we're all about. We're empowering the users. We're making it fun, because no one knows what they're going to get. That's all part of the mystery and the journey of using the app, which is what we're very excited about. But yeah, to answer your question, there's a 2-year process since we first came up with the idea, and now literally went live today, and we're going to be rolling out across the UK.
Oh wow, congratulations, guys.
thank you.
it sounds like you guys really have put a lot of thought into how you developed the app and also changed it. I kind of want to ask you, Sophie, I know obviously you do a lot of content creation, you manage things in terms of the social media side, so that's, I guess, you're really dealing with the human element and kind of getting a lot of feedback. What's been the response, really, on social media, how people really taken to the app and its style of dating?
I think, well, we've had a really good time on social media, which sounds a bit of an odd saying, but particularly our Twitter audience has, like, continually grown. And as I think the difference maybe between us and other apps at the moment, because we're this sort of, when I say smaller community, just obviously as we're launching, but that, so I will regularly, like, comment on other people's and, like, create dialogues with other people's tweets or uploads and things, and we get really good feedback from that in terms of that personal approach. Even if it's just, like, for instance, if someone's posted about an amazing first date they've had, then, like, we'll be there being like, that's amazing, like good luck, and just that sort of friendly, more personal touch, I think, has really helped build our social media platforms, particularly on Twitter, where people obviously like to tell everyone everything in terms of their updates, and even if it's just a snippet, like we're there to be like, yay, like, tell us more. Like, we want to open conversations about dating and relationships and even, like, single life and what's that like. And so it's great to see that response and have that one, like, direct communication, as opposed to just, like, emails or newsletters.
Yeah, definitely. So I've got a second question for you guys. Would you, in your opinion, both of you guys can comment on it. Do you think that people using technology and social media as primary methods for dating has been positive or negative to the overall dating experience?
I would say that on balance, it's made civilization more economical, because if you go back 20 years, if you're going to really just you know, filter this down to the real essence of what it's all about, it's a numbers game when it comes to both genders. And actually, the more opportunities you have, the more you fine-tune who you're willing to settle down with if you're looking for love, for example. And it may not be that, but again, you've still then got more options in terms of that filtering process. So therefore you learn more about what you like, and you will go through, you know, the pros and cons of that is obviously depends on the specific dating app or, you know, the approach of it. If you're on using something that isn't particularly positive or makes you feel not great, I'm not going to name any apps, then you will become part of that culture. And you will reflect that as society, which is quite a sad thing to say to some respects, but hey, some people love it. So it's all about that balance. So, it depends on, you know, many, many things. But on balance, I would say that I'd say I'm a positive tech person in the sense that for efficiency, I think that can only be a good thing. It's then just a case of what tools you use through that efficiency to help you get what you want and what you're looking for.
Yeah, dating experience, I'll just say my dating experience has led me not to date anymore. It's really been sticky, man. I mean, I went to Leicester, you know how it goes. hasn't been great at all, and I don't date anymore. Can't be bothered, and it's also not something that I prioritize for myself. It's not something that I need right now for where I want my life to go. So yeah. So I guess in terms of meeting matches, like the second part of question four, I'm normally quite open. I didn't have many preferences. I'm quite easygoing when it comes to getting to know people. Dated people shorter than me, not within my tax bracket, different cultures, etc. Now I definitely have more preferences, but I was normally quite open, and maybe that has been the cause of my dating demise, but we move.
Sophie, you made a good point about how your perspective on things has changed as you've gotten older. How has your perspective, both of you guys, your perspective on dating really changed? I know obviously now that you're in a stage where you're very open and willing to learn about a whole host of things, and also learning more about people and what people like and what people are interested in. Have you guys always been that way, or have you guys made that transition and really opened your mind and had conversations with different people to allow you guys to now be in the current point which you are?
Sophie?
I think for me, it was at uni was my first experience of like dating myself and like meeting people and stuff like that. And when I was at school, I was like, it's a bit dull, but I was like, I just put my head down and I worked, and I was quite shy and socially awkward. So I didn't really think about dating or relationships that much. I knew that it wasn't something that I didn't see it as like an option for me. I was like, that's not what I do. And I think sometimes I judged other people to have been like, oh, they're like out dating all the time, and I sort of looked down on it, which I just wouldn't do now, because I think it is a really important sort of, for some people it's like a form of socialization. It's like fulfilling that need of wanting sort of a connection, a deeper connection or more physical connection with someone else. And then at uni, when I started like, I don't know, checking out the guys and whatever, that's really cringy. Yeah. And I tried like dating apps for the first time, I was like, this is really fun. I think when I first sort of got into it, I was more of the mindset of like, what am I looking for in a serious partner? Like, I felt sort of that I don't know, that need to be in a serious relationship, that would make me feel more fulfilled or better. And yeah, I think since then it's like I see dating more relaxed. Like even if you don't end up seeing that person again or developing anything serious, if you're out there and you've had a fun evening and you've learned about someone else, like that's great. Like that's great in itself, rather than when I was at uni, like first and second year, being like feeling really disheartened if you had a date you didn't really want to see them again, or they didn't quite tick every box. So I think that more sort of chill way of looking at dating and just learning more about myself and what I want and need from a partner.
Yeah, my background, I should add, is probably a good thing to throw in, because I actually worked in politics, which I've always found, should say, social science, interesting, kind of where people are your laboratory, basically, as opposed to labs. So my roots are in that, and so I've always become kind of a sort of an inquisitive kind of person when it comes to understanding dynamics and understanding people, really. And I always enjoy meeting new people, because I always like to understand what makes them tick, really. And when it comes to dating myself, you know, it's always about the opportunity to see, because finding chemistry is actually quite exciting, and you kind of go with the flow and it lasts however long it lasts. But having sort of an interest in people, it just, because of my roots, it's made it that extra bit more exciting. Whereas a lot of people do find going on dates either a chore or they get nervous, and that's, you know, it's completely natural. I mean, I've got nerves in my life on and off, and you know, sometimes you really look forward to it. But I think overall, I do find it, you know, if you've got the opportunity to meet someone new, to get that fresh perspective, as we said earlier today, you know, it's great to be able to get that, you know, especially in times where people want and need to reach out and not be isolated in their homes. At least they can be online and chatting to new people.
Yeah, sorry, just to add something at the end there, because what you said about like first dates, and it's some people's idea of nightmares. Some of my friends hate them, and I'm like, oh my god, that's so exciting! You've got a first date. Like, I love first dates. Like, maybe because I'm quite a chatty person, so I know that even if they're not chatty, I'll chat for them. Like, it will be fine. but I'm like, no, like, I understand why people are nervous, but to me, that's just like, it's exciting. Like, and even if it doesn't go well, like, I can't wait to get on like the girls' group chat later and tell them what happened minute by minute. Like, there's sort of almost no bad outcome with first dates, in my opinion.
Exactly. I just see it more as experiences anyway. I sort of look at things as, well, it was interesting. The word interesting is always that kind of neutral word, but you always have to throw it in there sometimes, just to be really safe when you don't know people. Yeah.
So actually, on that point about first dates, how have people found the adjustment of, you know, going out and meeting people after you've spoken to them on apps? To the whole lockdown and coronavirus period, in which people have primarily had to stay within their homes, they're not sleeping off, and having video calls with people. I'm not sure, is that facility within your app?
We don't have video call at the moment. We will be integrating that, but we've got a lot, let's just say, a lot more exciting stuff than just video calls coming for 2021. So watch this space. But no, at the moment, it's just through texting and other sort of features you'd expect, as well as the obviously completely original feature, which is the revealing process. So that's what we have at the moment.
Oh, okay. So with the whole dating at home process, have people expressed their feelings about how the dating experiences has changed or made them feel about talking to new people and meeting new people on the app?
I was going to say just that it's what we found is that people are willing, for some of the feedback we've done, that they're willing to be a bit more, try something a bit more new. And that's why it's quite good timing in that respect that Bear is coming out now of all times to try something completely different. And there, you know, in terms of engagement, it's been about, yeah, just putting yourself out there and into that safe space, really. That's what we sort of found from Bear so far. But that's just through our user base of the testing app, because we only just launched live today, you see. So in terms of the testing that we've done, those users have given us valuable feedback that's allowed us to obviously get to where we are at this stage?
I'd say just from personal, like, I don't know, anecdotes from friends and things. I have friends that were sort of turned their nose up at dating apps, but within sort of since March have tried various ones out because, again, like, why not? It's a pandemic. How else are you going to meet people? And, you know, then some people don't like them, but I think people are generally surprised when they use them. And even, you know, it's just also funny. Like, it, you're always going to come across someone who's put like a funny line in their profile that you just think, well, why on earth would you say that? Like, it's just great. Like, you can all have a laugh about it, but I think it definitely has been the year of the dating app. And, like, I think, I don't know. I've had various texts from friends being like, yeah, so after I said I'd never, like, download this app, I've gone and downloaded it. And I'm like, yes, great. Like, it shouldn't have taken a global pandemic for you to realise that dating apps are good, but whatever.
I think definitely the dating experience has been tipped upside down by the virus, and it's really changed a lot of people's perspectives on how they really want to date, and also how their preconceptions about dating before. But I would like to ask you guys, it sort of links back to what we were talking about really about meeting new people and technology really changing the way in which dating is done. I kind of wanted to explore how you think that people having more potential matches and having more accessibility to people around the globe than ever before, and sort of having this the grass is greener mentality, do you think that's detrimental, or do you think that is something which isn't, it's actually something which is quite helpful?
I think it can be quite persuasively argued either way. I think my general experience is that, so let's say you match with 20 people in one day or over a course of 2 days, then if you start chatting, maybe you'll only start chatting to half of those. And then again, the ones that conversation actually lasts longer than a few days, and it will just keep, and you'll end up having like a favorite person to message. I think, no matter almost how big the pool is, it's naturally going to slim itself down anyway. I know when I've been chatting to like multiple guys in the early stages of dating, the average person can't keep up 10 good solid conversations with their matches. Like, maybe there's like a superman, superwoman who can do that. I can't. They end up fizzling out. And so I think even, the grass could be greener, but at that point you've probably establish some form of connection. How strong that is, I don't know, but I think it naturally ends up going down anyway, no matter how big the initial pool is. Especially then if you start going on dates, obviously that's hard right now, that, you know, you get to know someone a bit more. And I think most people, like for me, like when I've been talking to someone on a dating app, we've gone on a few dates, even if you're not at the stage where you're exclusive, you don't find yourself swiping as much, or if you do, you're like, can't really be bothered now. So I think there's always going to be some people who are like a bit of a player, but I think those people would just be keep doing that regardless of whether they're on an app or not. They'll just be on more nights out or chatting to more mutual friends or whatever. So I don't necessarily think it's detrimental to the dating world at all. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with all that. I think as well, I think the key word really is organic, and things just fade on and off. And I say this to lots of people, but my personal opinion is that ghosting isn't necessarily a bad thing at all. It's just a way for people to kind of, because many people don't like to actually say, no, thank you, actually, this isn't working for me. And it's just a natural sign for some people to not be able to say that. And that's not a good thing or a bad thing. It's just the way that people fade off, or because they're busy for various reasons. You know, it's just an organic process. What I would say as well, if it comes to bear, that being the type of app that we are, it's kind of specifically for bear, I should say, it's kind of less relevant where you are as well in the world because of the types of things that you can do that's a bit more fun and a bit more different. You could argue that some people may not necessarily want to ever meet, if that makes sense, depending on what they're looking for. because we have three options, which is just something less serious, open to options, or something more serious. And then, you know, wherever you are in the world, once we start to roll out globally, it's a minor point, but actually in the grand scale of things, when we've got a pandemic, then it's actually quite relevant. But yeah, in the bigger picture of things, I do just think that people, as Sophie said, just fade on and off, and it can go up and down in terms of dips of the amount of people that you're speaking to any one time, really. And you'll have your favourites, your bounty. You may not call them that, but you end up with this.
I would say my experience for dating has been relatively quite positive. I think initially I was like really focused on like, oh, I want to have a girlfriend, I want to have this, I want to have that. And I definitely spent like time looking for relationships when I probably should have been trying to develop myself. So I think that's probably one of the earliest lessons I learned, but I don't regret any of those things. After that, you know, spent a lot of time like meeting different people, going on dates, you know, basically just having a social life, having a dating life as well, and I enjoyed it. I do think though that sometimes you meet people and they've probably been like a bit jaded or a bit like you can tell like they're kind of tired of dating, but they're still dating, if that makes sense. So I think definitely like some people will try and force it, and it's just like, you know, if you're not finding what you're looking for dating, maybe take a break and maybe just focus on self-development. But overall for me, it's been all right.
Yeah, I think really on that point, you've kind of aren't kind of set me up for my next question, really, where I kind of wanted to talk about control and putting and dating apps putting the dating experience in the hands of the user and letting them have real absolute control about how they want to date and interact with people, which I think is one of sort of your big USPs, really, that you sort of give control to the users, and also helping people stay safe and positive whilst online. So I wanted to ask you guys, how do you think people can really stay safe getting to know other people online whilst they're Zooming, texting, and if Boris and the Conservative crew managed to allow us meet up?
Well, yes, I would say that the big thing that's been going on this year is the rise of scamming on dating apps, and scam artists using various techniques, and just general people who just aren't necessarily behaving too well, let's just say abusive behavior. So I think what sort of tips I would give, bear tips as we call them, is just one of the things is making sure that, you know, people are making you feel comfortable. And we have a community guidelines about how we feel our users, how we'd like, and we've had our users input on that as well. Community guidelines of just you know, giving each other compliments, making people feel good about themselves, whatever the situation. One of the differentiators for Bear is that everyone is real, in the sense that people take a selfie, and then if it doesn't detect the right age or they're not real, then we will ask for government ID. So we're sort of breaking more boundaries there as well, to make sure that pretty much everyone's real, so that will help prevent many factors there. But I think in terms of general tips, I just simply say that if it don't feel right, don't go with it. You can just, as Sophie said earlier, you can just unpair. We call them bear pairs on Bear. So you can unpair your pair, and or basically your match, and then you can leave it at that, and you can give a reason, so they actually know why you've unpaired them, which is basically, you know, don't feel there's any connection here, or there's a couple of other options too we're working on. We're working with the community to help build the app, basically. So that's my input on that.
I'd say I think a lot of people, for me as well, I hate the idea of offending anyone on making a fuss, which is probably years of the patriarchy, you know, influencing that on me. But you can, if let's say you've been chatting on a dating app and you've followed each other on social media or changed to a different method of communication, blocking numbers, blocking on social media is even if for whatever reason, like, it's not a terrible thing to do to another person. It's not all your meaning is that they can't access you on social media. That is not a terrible thing to do to another person. So I think knowing that there are always options, and being able, like, if you come across something on a dating app, reporting it, if even if they haven't anything to you, if you've seen on their profile an inappropriate image, an inappropriate sentence, or something misogynistic, racist, or anything that you just don't think should be on there, I think it's easy for people just think out of sight, out of mind. But there is a report button on, definitely on Bear and on a lot of other dating apps, which will then send the team, the behind the scenes team, an alert. And with Bear, we have, Alex can correct me if I'm wrong, but we have a two strike policy. So as soon as you have two people report you, you're banned from the app, because obviously we don't want those, we don't want anyone like that on our app, and people shouldn't have to see that when they go onto a dating app. So I think not being afraid to report anything, even if you think it's quite small, if there's something about it that doesn't make you feel right, or emailing the team, because, you know, maybe you don't match with them and you don't have to experience it, but another person might, and they might have a terrible experience because of that.
I think it is a lot more difficult to date now, because I think everyone just wants to have their foot in like 10 different ponds at once. And yeah, I mean, my experience hasn't been bad per se, but like, it obviously hasn't been kind of like what you expect watching the movies when you're growing up and stuff. But I'd say I still just meet people in real life. Just, I don't really do apps and stuff.
And finally, my last question for you guys is, obviously you guys are a dating app and you guys support people who want to date and meet other people and get cozy together. I wanted to ask, for people in 2021, as we're about to reach into there, what would you say is a good tip or things to do to stand out within the dating scene, and what sort of ways can people improve their dating experience?
I think if we're going to basics of building like a profile, I just think smiles are like underrated. And so many people on them, when you're looking at their photos, they're not smiling. And obviously, if you don't want to smile, you shouldn't have to. But I mean, there's lots of like psychology behind, like, when someone smiles, like, you're more inclined to want to start a conversation with them. And I just think people on dating apps need to be smiling more. This sounds really big headed, but the most comments I get from people is like, oh, like, you've got such a lovely smile, like that. I think it really makes people want to engage with you. That's quite a weird one. I think just being open-minded as well, and not writing anyone off too quickly, because you don't know what experience you might have with them and how you might grow or learn from it.
Okay, that's perfect. What about you, Alex?
Yes, I would say the smile, I agree, but I think if you can not force a smile, yes, but if you can make it part of your portfolio, of pictures, or if you make yourself maybe intriguing, but in a way that, you know, you're true to yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's my fundamental advice on that, to be honest with you. And that's not just for dating, that's just in life, really.
Yeah, I think even as someone who writes like dating tips and stuff, I don't really agree with any like dating app rules or dating rules as such, because I think everyone's different. And even though, yeah, there are certain things like, for example, smiling makes you more approachable, or, you know, being a bit attitude-y in your bio might make people less likely to swipe left, but if doing those things or not doing them doesn't feel like you, or if, you know, you hear people saying like, oh, like, I don't like boring message people who just say, hey, how are you? But if that's how you want to communicate with someone, don't try and fake being super funny or banterous over text, or don't, you know, now take loads of selfies with you like with a massive grin if that just doesn't represent you, because like, what's the point? So whilst like we can give out dating advice and suggestions, and it's different, and at the end of the day, in a dating environment, if you're not comfortable, you're not going to come across well to the person that you were trying to date. Whereas if you are comfortable and they like you, great. If they don't, bin them off. Like, yeah,
100%. I really agree with the fact that you have to be yourself, because at the end of the day, if you're trying to be this character or this caricature of yourself, at some point you're gonna have to take off the mask, or you're gonna have to wash off the makeup, and the other person's gonna realize that that wasn't you. So in the long term, it's draining for you and it's draining for the other person. So why sort of waste your time and just be yourself, and whoever likes you just likes you, and
lucky them.
Absolutely.
If you've made it here, then you've just finished episode 4 of Tea and Waffles, a guide to 2021, powered by Transmission Roundhouse, featuring Sophie Elwin, a content creator, podcaster, and writer for the Bear dating app, and Alex Sargent, a co-creator of the Bear dating app. Make sure, if you enjoyed this episode, to check us out on all social media platforms at Tea and Waffles Pod, and join the conversation. Finally, stay tuned for more topics, more amazing guests, and more importantly, more waffles.